North Rock Podcast.
It's good to be back at North Rock with all of you. Haven't seen most of you for over a year now, so it's really good to look out and see your faces and to worship with you again. I just have to say first, before anything, thank you. So many of you guys have been so good about sending me emails and Facebook messages and different things, just letting me know that you miss me and that you're praying for me and asking how things are going in Honduras. And you just have to know how important that is for me. Whenever I get one of those, it's kind of like the boost I need to keep going, you know, especially on those days when I'm missing the familiar, missing things that I'm used to. And so thank you for being so good in doing that. And thank you so much for those of you that are so faithful every month in supporting our ministry. We're going to share a bunch of testimonies today about what God is doing, and these testimonies are attributed to you guys that participate in the ministry through prayer and through finances, and we're so, so thankful that you're in this with us and what God is doing in Honduras, so thank you so much. I have some friends that I brought with me from Honduras. You got to meet them, but I'm going to have them come back up one more time. If you can welcome them, give them a hand. So this is Pastor Wilmer and Jenny Godoy, and they're the pastors of Community Christian Church in San Pedro Sula. They actually oversee four churches that Via Love is so privileged to partner with. And then these are their kids. This is Esther, Daniel, Isaac, and Jonathan. And we've been here. We just finished recording a CD, which we're going to tell you a little bit more about. So we've just been here kind of sharing the music that God has put in our heart and sharing the testimonies of what God is doing in Honduras. And most of all, I really just wanted them to experience the cold, because every day in Honduras, I have a really red face and I'm sweaty and they're constantly like making fun of me and laughing at me. And so I thought it would be fun to do that to them too, when their lips are blue and they're shivering. The only problem with that is I've adjusted more than I thought to Honduran weather, and I've been freezing too. And so it's not as cool to make fun of them when my lips are shaking as well. But I'm still doing it anyway. So no, but this is my family as well. And you guys are my family. So I wanted my family to meet my family and my family to meet my family. So I'm so thankful. Yeah. So thankful to have them in my life and to be able to do ministry with them. So thank you guys. All right. I'm going to show you a video. Before we share all these testimonies, I want you guys to get to see some of the faces of the people that I'm going to be telling you about. So we have this video with pictures, and it's another one of our songs that you can enjoy too. So there you go. I don't know if you guys noticed all the girls in the bright pink shirts, but one of my favorite things that I get to do in Honduras is a discipleship program for girls. And originally it was just going to be like five or six girls between the ages of like 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. But it's turned into there's like 20 girls, and they're between the ages of 7 and 18. We just finished 9 months of this discipleship program, and these girls are out of control in how they've fallen in love with Jesus and what they want to do. It was around like May or June that we were talking about our responsibility to be the light of the world and to go and share the love of Jesus Christ. And so I told them, I want you guys to plan some type of outreach event that's going to bless the people and meet a need, but that's also going to give them an opportunity to know Christ. And so they talked and they decided that they wanted to go to the Bordos, which are like the shanty towns, the really poor areas of San Pedro Sula. And so they were in charge of everything. I was just there to make sure they didn't die. And so they planned everything. They cooked a meal for 100 people. They collected clothes, so many clothes. We gave clothes to everybody in the Bordos, and then we still had some left over to give at another place. They preached. They led worship. They had dramas. They dressed up as clowns. They prayed for the people. They did all of it. And so since that day, I haven't been able to keep up with them. They're just like, oh, we got to do more. We got to do, look how God used us. And so now they'll come and tell me, hey, we need to go to the hospital. I think you saw a picture in there. We need to go to the hospital and pray for the kids with cancer. And so we'll go do that. Or they'll see, you know, all the homeless people living on the street, and they're like, we have to feed them. And so we'll go get pizzas and we'll go feed them, or go into the orphanages, or continue to go to the Bordos or whatever. But these girls are falling in love with God, and it's my favorite thing that I get to do is just to watch them and to help create opportunities for them to continue to be used of God and to grow his kingdom. One of my seven-year-olds in the program, she's the tiniest seven-year-old you'll ever see. She's like 20 pounds when her pockets are full of rocks and super tiny. But the last time that we were in the Bordos, she was the one that preached. And she had her little Bible in her hand, and she was just like, I want to tell you about Daniel, and da da. And she's just preaching it up, and people are responding to her. But even at 7, she's already learning that God can use me if I tell him I'm available and I let him use me. And so these girls, it's just so fun to watch what God is doing in their lives. And so I have to brag on them because they're my favorite. But so a year ago, I moved to San Pedro Sula, Honduras with V-Love International. And the goal was just to go and share the love of God with everybody. Whatever God put in front of us to do, we were going to do it, but we were going to do it with love. And so that's still our heart. That's still our goal. But it's been really fun to partner with Community Christian Church. We have very similar hearts and visions. And so V-Love's role is to be able to say, to hear their vision and their passion to reach their people and see them transformed and to say, hey, we want to partner with you in that and we want to help make that happen. So whatever you need to make the vision God has given you a reality, we're going to come alongside you and do that, whether it be to help you raise funds, build resources, whether it be to help you prepare and train your leaders and your people. We want to do that. And so you're going to get to hear a little bit more about what they're doing and what Via Love gets to do with them here in a little bit. But I want to share something that I didn't expect to necessarily learn in my first year. So I went to go show the love of God, but I'm still learning about the love of God. And there's been so many things this year that God has shown me that I want to share with you guys today. And so the first thing that I've really seen this year when it comes to God's love is that God's love pursues. It's not a passive love. It's a love that literally actively seeks us out. It's always at work. So one testimony I want to share with you about this. Most of you guys have heard about Honduras and the prison there. I've shared that with you guys here before, but for any new people, I'll share it again. Honduras is known as the murder capital of the world. It can be dangerous, although that's not what I want you to know about it. I'd rather you know that God is doing incredible things there and they're an amazing people. And that's what you see more than anything. But it has this reputation. And so on one of my trips there, Pastor Wilmer invited me to go sing in the prison with the band. And so I was like, sure. I had no idea. I was thinking orange jumpsuits, handcuffs, you know, things that I've seen in movies. I had no idea that he was really taking me into this insane place that's worse than a horror movie. Basically, when I was walking in, the guard told me, he's like, if you go in there, we're not coming in there after you. And I was like, is that kind of like, hello, how are you? Welcome to the prison. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but it kind of, you know, put a little bit of fear inside me. But basically, it's this huge wall that goes around this area. And there's guards outside to keep the prisoners in, to keep other people out. But inside the wall, the guards don't go inside there. They have this kind of agreement that they don't go in. And so the prisoners have formed kind of their own society inside this wall. And so they've got their own law enforcement. They buy and sell things and they have this whole system worked out. So when we go in, you know, we're smelling drugs and seeing all these crazy things and hearing crazy things. And it literally is just like a overcrowded scene from a horror movie. But what I saw when we finally made it to the church area of the prison, there's 3,000 prisoners in a space built for 800. But 600 of those people came to service that night and were worshiping with this freedom that just inspired me. Like every time I go there, I never feel like I should be the one on the platform because these people have experienced a freedom in Christ that I'm jealous of, even though they're not free in their flesh, they're free in their spirit. And so just watching these people cry out for God, it was actually standing there that I heard God call me and say, look what I'm doing. If I'm doing this inside the prison of the murder capital of the world, imagine what I'm doing in the rest of this country. I want you to go back, sell all your stuff and move here and be a part of what I'm doing. And so still one of my favorite places to worship, one of my favorite places to go. But this year I had the opportunity to meet a man who was in the prison for 17 years. He had killed at least 7 people that he knows of. He said, it's possible that it's more, but there's 7 that I know of that I killed. He was involved in drugs and drug trafficking and prostitution and all kinds of terrible things. He had lost some of his children, like some of his children were killed and family members killed because of the things that he was involved in. Just darkness, complete darkness. And he finds himself in prison. So on his first day in prison, he's telling me this story. It's his first day in prison, and he's obviously going to be there a long time. And this woman comes up to him and says, I've been waiting for you. And so his first thought was, she's probably here to kill me because I've probably killed someone that she loves. So here it goes. This is the end. But this woman was an evangelist, and God had given her a vision of this man's face and said, go to the prison and look for this face. And so when she said, I've been waiting for you, it's because God had already shown her what he looked like and that he was going to be there. So she shares this with him, and she says, God sent me here to tell you that he loves you, that he wants to change your life, that there's no sin that he can't forgive, all of this stuff. And this man is just, he has this encounter with the love of God and is just completely, completely changed. And so that first day in prison, he gives his life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. And the way he tells the story is just, you can see that God was pursuing him with his love. Even when he was doing all of his crazy sinning and worldly things, God was seeking him out. And even in the prison, he gave someone a dream, sent them there to find him, to say, like, even with your history, I still love you. I'm still looking for you. I'm still pursuing you. And now this man has been out of prison for a little over a year, and he's a pastor. He has a church. He goes back into the prison all the time. He says that when you go into prison, you have two choices. You can either get stuck in drugs and do that all day in the prison, or you can go with the people who have found freedom in Christ on the inside, and you can get to know God's word and who God is. And so that's the route that he chose. And so for 17 years, he was day and night reading God's word, learning it, spending time with God, spending time with believers. And so 17 years later, he comes out and he can quote the Bible as if he wrote it himself. And he's pastoring and he's going back into the prison and leading other prisoners through the same process of God's love that he experienced. And God's love pursues. If God's love is pursuing a murderer, somebody doing these horrible things, he's pursuing us. He's looking for opportunities to actively pour his love out on us. There's another story I want to share with you guys, and this actually took place a long time ago. I had the opportunity to go to Bible college in Texas for 4 years, and every Friday night during this time, we would go to downtown Dallas. There was a group of four of us. We would go to downtown Dallas, and we would just look for opportunities for God to use us to share his love. And so the first time we went out, we found ourselves in this souvenir shop, you know, Texans and their souvenirs, everything Texas. And there was this man in there who was a Muslim from Bangladesh. And we just started talking to him, telling him what we were doing out there. And he was like, oh, well, you don't have to waste your breath. You don't have to waste your time because I'm a Muslim. And we're like, that's fine. But God loves you and we'll be praying for you and we'll see you next Friday. And so for 4 years, every single Friday, we would go and talk to Romel. And we would always tell him, we're praying for you. You know, we would never just like, you know, preach at him or whatever, but we always made sure he knew we were praying for him, and we always made sure that he knew we were there because God sent us to love him. And so we formed this friendship over time, and he was going through some really difficult times. His family was still in Bangladesh. He had gotten robbed, and he had all of his money in his house and was all taken and just going through all of this crazy stuff. Well, he ends up getting to such a desperate place where he's like, I'm not a Muslim. I don't believe in any God. I'm just going to end my life because there's literally nothing left on this earth for me to live for. Everything has gone wrong, and that's the only way I'm ever going to find peace is if I'm dead. And we're standing there listening to him, and we're like, no, 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 please, you know, trying to stop him from doing that. And he's like, if this God that you're telling me about is real, then I need him to reveal himself to me. Those are his exact words. And so we were like, he's gonna give us 1 week, give God 1 week. We'll come back next Friday. And we believe that by the time we come back, God's gonna have revealed himself to you and we'll be celebrating what he's done in your life. And he was like, I'll give it a week. But we knew, you know, that he didn't really mean it. And so we went back to our college campus and we were praying and we had everybody praying and just waiting for Friday to get here. And so Friday comes and we go and we show up in the place. And I remember his face, it looked different than before. But it's kind of an awkward conversation to start. You know, you don't want to say like, so did God do it? Because that doesn't really show your faith, you know. And so you don't really know where to start. But luckily he started and he said, I want to show you something that came into my store this week. And he goes over and shows us this case. And you know how you can get a little card that has your name on it and it says what language your name came from and what it means. He's like, I didn't order these. I have no idea why they showed up at my store, but they showed up this week. And he pulls out the one that says Tiffany. And on it says Tiffany from the Greek word theophany, which means revelation of God. I didn't know my name meant that. I always thought my name was ugly until this happened. Now I like it. But Yeah, so he sees that and he said, I knew that the God that you had been talking to me about for 4 years was the one true God. And he's revealed himself to me. And so right there in the middle of the souvenir shop, this Muslim man gives his heart to Jesus Christ. And I never saw him again after that. He had been talking about moving back to Bangladesh to be with his family. But I believe, I know that he encountered the love of God. And I believe that now he's in Bangladesh in a country that's 99% Muslim. And he's proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ and how it pursued him, how it sought him out and did whatever it had to do to reach him. Yeah, give God glory for that. And I believe that that's what he's doing. And hopefully one day when I get to heaven, I'll get to see him with all his people. And so God's love, it pursues us. There's a scripture in Revelation 3:20. It says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door, I'll come in and eat with you, and you with me will be together. And so we know that he's knocking at the door, but it also says, if you hear my voice, God is always calling out to us. He's pursuing us. He's seeking us out. He's knocking. He's calling out your name. And he's saying, I have this love that I want you to encounter, and I'm willing to go to whatever heights I have to go to show it to you. I'm willing to go to the prison. I'm willing to send you to America to work in a Texas souvenir shop and have these crazy four Christians annoy you for 4 years just to tell you that I love you and that I'm looking for you and that I'm waiting for you to respond to my call and to say that you love me back. It's a love that pursues, and we see this all the time in Honduras. It's just like Zacchaeus. You guys know the story in the Bible of Zacchaeus, the wee little man, you know, the song that we used to sing. But he's this sinner, and he knows Jesus is coming, but he can't see Jesus through the crowd. And so he climbs this tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus, and Jesus notices him and says, come down, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to eat with you today. And it says at the end of that, it says, because the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. He's coming and he's looking for the people that he died for, saying, I'm not just going to have this here if you want to come get it, but he's saying, I'm going to pursue you every single step of the way to pour my love out on you. Our God's love is good. Amen.
Amen.
The second thing that God's love does and that I've seen more than ever this year is God's love transforms. A lot of times we water down the love of God and we say things like, oh, it doesn't matter. God loves me. God loves the sinner. So I can keep on sinning. And we use it as an excuse or like a thing that we can say. And it's true. God does love us. God does love the sinners. All of that is true. But if we just stop there, we're missing the point of God's love, because God's love is a love that transforms. It's a love that takes us from sin and brings us into righteousness. It's a love that brings us from death into life. It's a love that takes us from hopelessness into hope. When we don't have purpose, it gives us purpose. When we're sick, it brings us into health. It's a love that is powerful. We always talk about, we look back to what Jesus did on the cross and we say, thank you for erasing my past. And there's power in that. Absolutely, there's power that he erased our past. But what the cross also did was it gave us a future. And it said, not only did I erase your past, but here I'm giving you life. I'm giving you a future where you can live in eternity with me. And sometimes we just say, oh, God loves me, that's it. And we don't understand the power of what his love can do and how it can transform and change any situation. It can make any ashes turn into something beautiful. And that's what God wants to do. He's saying, my love is active, it's powerful, it can change you to look less like this world and to look more like me. And so I want to share a couple of testimonies with you guys about this love. And I'm going to invite Pastor Wilmer to come back up and share a testimony with you about a young man named Luis and about how God's love has transformed Luis. So give another welcome to Pastor Wilmer. He prefers that I translate for him what he's going to say, but I said no.
Okay. You have to understand that I started learning English 4.5 years ago, and sometimes I say things in the wrong way, you know? And, one day somebody asked me to speak, you know, and I tried to tell them that we are servants, you know, and I just, when I am talking in English, I am thinking first in Spanish and then I translate, and it's hard, you know. But it's good to see you. I try to say, we are a donkey for Jesus. I mean, like, we are just servants, you know. But I didn't know the word donkey. So I went to the dictionary and I learned. And I said, we are an ass for Jesus. You know. And somebody said, what he saying? What he just say? And people start laughing like you, you know. One day I tried to say, Jesus is coming soon for a church on fire. But I said, Jesus is coming soon for a hot church. You know? So I apologize if I say something wrong, okay? It's such a privilege to be here with my family, you know. I have gratitude in my heart and gratitude to for meeting Tiffany Mares, who loves Tiffany Mares. I'm telling you, we are stalling Tiffany Mares from you because Honduras just love Tiffany Mares. I'm telling you, everybody, you know. And we start Christian Community Church 5.5 years ago, August 22 of 2010. We started in the garage of our house with my wife and my four kids. And we start the church and we have this mindset, you know, how church works, you know. But later on, we was feeling like something is missing. I was talking with my wife and I said, what is it that I have to do in order to feel that I am doing right, you know? So one day I was praying, you know, and I asked God, what is it that I supposed to do, you know? Because when I was thinking about a building, to get a building for the church, I was thinking to get a building in a very nice neighborhood, you know, trying to reach the people that they can come to church and they can support the church. But then when I was praying, God keep telling me, work with kids, work with youth. I told God and I said, God, but they don't have money. How I'm gonna work with kids? They're gonna be begging money from me. You know, and God put in my heart and he goes, use what you have in your hands. And I said, what is it that I have in my hands? And he goes, what do you like? And I said, I love music. So use music. So I started using the music as a tool, you know, and I start, you know, after that, you know, we rent the building. But I was driving and passing by in a very dangerous neighborhood from San Pedro Sula. I can say the worst from San Pedro Sula, dangerous. And I see this sign saying for rent. And I said, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I am not going to rent a building in this neighborhood. And then I was driving and pass in front of that building. And God keep telling me, go and ask. That's the building that I want for you. And I said, no way. People, they are not going to come. You know? And yes, when I start, I rented. Finally, you know, when God is asking you to do something, if you don't do it, you're going to feel miserable. I'm telling you, you have to do it. You know, so I rented it, and you know, and when I started inviting people to come, you know, people said, where is the church? And I give them the address, and they said, no way, we are not gonna be there. So I told God, I said, I told you, you know. So I start teaching music to the kids, and oh my gosh, over 120 kids show up, you know, like, yes, we won. For free, you know, to learn music. And so we start teaching the kids and the youth music. And right now, you know, we have over 32 musicians in our church. And we rotated. we rotated them. We have three church services every week. Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. We like church, you know. and we rotated them, you know. And they are like from 7 to 18 years old, most of them, you know. But one day I was in my house, you know, like 4 years ago I was in my house. And I see this guy in a wheelchair passing by in front of our in front of her house, you know. And you see him in the picture, the guy in the wheelchair, you know. His name is Luis. We call him Luisito, which is a little Luis, the little Luis, you know. And in Honduras, we try to be friendly. You know, if we see each other, we try to say at least, hey, hi, like you are very friendly, you know. And so I asked him, you know, I said, hey, and I start talking with him, you know. And in the end, I told him, I said, hey, I am a pastor, and do you want to come to church? And he goes, no way, I don't want to deal with God. I don't want to know nothing about God. Just look my situation. And he started explaining to me what happened in his life. And he told me that when he was 15 years old, he was helping his father, that is a construction
worker.
You see, I need help. Construction worker, you know, and they were working in the third floor of this building. And Luisito, by accident, touched a cable, electricity cable. And he just fell from the third floor, and he broke his back. Since that time, he's not able to walk, you know. So when something like that happened, it's your mom who is taking care of you, right? Moms, you know. But 1 year after the accident, somebody killed his mom. So now Luisito is in a wheelchair in that moment without mom. So he get in a very deep depress. And that day, he told me that later on. That day, he was just passing by in front of my house looking for some drug dealers just to get some drugs, you know, to use, because he was in a very deep depress. So that day, you know, I tried to invite him to go to the church, but he said, no, I don't want to deal with church. So I asked him, I said, do you like music? And he goes, what kind of question is that? Everybody likes music. I said, but do you like any instruments? And he goes, well, I really like the electric bass. So I told him, I said, I can teach you. And he goes, how much? I said, no, for free. He goes, what I need to do? Come to church. If you come to church, I'm going to teach you for free. So he came to church. And as soon as he came to church, something amazing happened, you know, that he just fell in love with electric bass. And I started teaching him. And after a couple of weeks, he goes, Pastor, I see that you are taking me and giving me a ride from my house to the church, from the church to my house. Pastor, can I live in the church? And I said, what do you mean? Live in the church. And I asked my wife, and my wife said, yes. So he lived in the church for 2 years. And while he was living in the church, he fell in love with this lady, beautiful lady from the church, you know. And guess what? They get married 1 year ago, you know. And I'm teasing him, you know. And I said, I don't understand, because you are an ugly guy, but something is working in you. You know, he's a very nice, saying nice things to this lady because she's beautiful, you know. And now they have one boy, you know. And they are, Luisito is the one working full time with us. We have a recording studio in Honduras. And Luisito is the one who mix and mastering our songs. The CD that you're going to get, I hope, is Luisito, the one who is mixing and mastering. So he's making money, providing for the family. You have to understand this. Somebody in Luisito's condition is begging money on the street. But that's not the case of Luisito. So for us as a ministry, it's one life at a time. It's not about just having this bunch of people. It's about life changing, transformation. And just the love of God, no matter what happened in your past, God doesn't work with your past. God's working in your present and in your future. Amen. The enemy is going to try to point at you in your past, but God is waiting for you in your presence, you know? Yeah. So give the glory to God, you know? So after 4 years, Luisito is having a family, working, you know? And I love Luisito, that we take him sometimes to the schools to talk in front of the students, you know. And Luisito always say this. He goes, He goes, most of you are able to walk, but you don't know where you're going. I am not able to walk, but I know where I'm going. God bless you.
So yeah, God's love transforms. And Luisito is just one of many testimonies of that that we've seen, and many of us have experienced that as well. But like he said, we have so many musicians in the church now that are youth that the church is now open from 8 in the morning to 10 at night, just so that these kids and these youth, that's really our heart, because 70% of the population of Honduras is under the age of 25. And so our heart is if we can reach them and they can see God's love and be transformed by it, the future of Honduras is going to be completely different. We won't be going into the prisons because no one will be there. We won't be having these orphans or these abandoned kids because these kids are going to grow knowing who Jesus is. And so our church is open all the time. And there's always music going on. The kids now who have been learning music for a few years are now teaching other kids. And there's just music all the time. And we have the recording studio in the church. And it was so fun when we were recording our songs because even though my songs, the ones that I wrote, are in English, and so the kids would be walking around singing, "This is a love, neener, 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 neener," and they have no idea what they're singing. But it was so fun, like, just watching them do that. And another thing that I love that God's love does is it transforms us and allows us to be able to dream. I've spent time in the public orphanages and in different places in Honduras, and you ask these kids, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? What's your dream? And they look at you like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what that means, because their life is so full of desperation and survival that they don't understand that question. They already know what their future looks like. It looks just like generations of their family has looked, and it takes place in a 5-block radius, and it's all about finding your next meal and just staying alive. But what I love about the kids that are part of our ministry, as God has transformed them with his love, is now they're dreaming. And you can ask any one of the kids in our church, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do for God? And they'll yell out crazy things like, I want to be a unicorn. And they really believe that it's possible because they know that there's this God that is who he says he is, and that he can do things that they can't even think or imagine. And they're dreaming these things. I love when we do offering at our churches because we have a basket. Somebody holds the basket here in front, and everybody brings their offering to the front. And we always have the kids go first. But instead of saying, all right, kids, come up and bring your offering, we always say to them, hey, now it's time for the future pastors and missionaries and leaders and presidents and nurses and doctors and business people to come forward. And the kids come walking up and they're shouting out, scientist, say scientist, you know, and whatever they want to be, because they already know that they can be what God has put in their heart to be, that their future is going to look different than their past, and that they're able to dream because God's love has transformed them. There's a scripture I want to share with you guys. Out of the Message version of the Bible, it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and it says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking, which, by the way, can happen with us even in a religious culture. We can fit in without even thinking and lose the power of God. It says, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity out of you. What God's love does is it transforms us. The third thing that I've learned this year about God's love is that God's love remains. A lot of us in here, we have the story of how God's love pursued us, how he rescued us out of the darkness, brought us into light, and he's transformed us into something. But even for myself, after 17 years of walking with Christ, I still struggle with sin. I still do things I know I shouldn't do. I still take steps backwards sometimes. But one thing that I've learned about God's love is that it remains. It doesn't change. Even though I know better, even though I tell people something, I still find myself tempted or falling into things. And God says, but I still love you. The same love that I had for you when I pulled you out of darkness before you knew who I was is the same love that's going to lift you up this time too. It's the same love that's going to carry you through every day, because my love doesn't change. My love doesn't go away. My love is my love, and it's not going anywhere. And I love that that's the way that God continues to love us, as messed up as we are. There's nothing that his love can't change. There's nothing that he doesn't walk with us through. We're going to do one more song, just kind of in closing, as Pastor Wilmer comes back to the piano. But I want to encourage you guys to respond to God's love. Maybe you already know about the love of God. You have that story of transformation and all of that. But how do we respond when we truly understand his love? The Bible tells us three things. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. They will know you love me by the way you love one another. And number three, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. So if you've experienced the love of God, if you truly are living, having experienced that transformation, then you're going to be doing these three things. You're going to be loving God with everything you have. You're going to be loving others, and you're going to keep God's commands. And so as we sing this next song, I want you guys to kind of just take a moment to reflect on what God has been speaking to your heart today. Maybe you're here and you're realizing through these testimonies, I had no idea that God was pursuing me with his love. But now that I look back, I can see the people that he placed around me. I can see the places that he's brought me to. And it wasn't by accident, but it's because he's been shouting out my name. He's been knocking on my door. He's been pursuing me with his love. Maybe you're somebody who's experienced his love, but you haven't let it transform you. You haven't let it take you into a new place to look more like him. And maybe God's challenging you in that, saying, you haven't experienced the fullness of my love because you're still the same as you were the day that I pulled you out of darkness. Let me transform you. Or maybe you've been walking with God all the time, but you've found yourself struggling with something, and you're saying, God, I know your love remains. Pick me back up. Help me to get back up. Or maybe you know all of that, and God's doing something in your heart right now saying, respond to my love by laying down your own life. We don't have to serve God to have salvation. Our salvation is free. We call on the name of Jesus. You are my Savior, and you're saved from the pits of hell. We don't work to earn that. But understanding God's love, all we can say, all we can do is, God, you're worthy of my whole life. How can I even respond to this love I've received? I don't have anything more I can give to you than all of me, than my life. And you're worthy of it. I could, every word I speak, every breath I take could be in praise and adoration to you for all of eternity, and you would still be worthy. You'll always be worthy because that's how good you are. That's how great your love is for me. That's how much it means to me, what you've done for me, what you've given to me. And so it's out of our response to that love that we say, I have it all. And so maybe you're here today and God's challenging you, saying, give me your life, give me more. I've put something in your heart to do for me that only you can do. Will you do it? Will you be the one that steps out and gives their life so that I can build my kingdom, so that more people can experience the love that I have for them? Another song that we wrote that talks about just that. It's a dangerous prayer to say something like, God, everything I am, everything I have, I give it to you. Do what you want. Because God hears that prayer and he's like, okay, move to the murder capital of the world or whatever the case may be for you. But God, he knows our hearts, and so if we're genuinely praying that, he's going to say, okay, let's respond to his love this morning. So if you'll stand with us, and just as we sing this, you can sing along as you learn the song, but just respond to what God has been speaking to you about his love today.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.